Hey, and welcome back to the Student Loan Show. My name is Jay Fleischman. I'm your host, and I am so glad that you're here for today's topic. It's going to be a really good one, and I'm very excited to bring it to you. Today, we're going to talk about how to get your student loan payments started off on the right foot. Graduate from college or from grad school, typically you're going to get a 6-month grace period, a repayment window where you don't have to make any payments on your federal student loans. And most of the time, your private student loans are going to do the same thing. You get a little bit of breathing room between the time that you finish school and the time that you've got to start making your payments. So on today's episode, I map out the 10 things that you must do in the last crucial months before your student loan grace period ends. We're going to talk about why each step is important and how each one of them contributes to your student loan repayment success. And to help you implement what we're going to talk about during today's episode, I've got a bonus for you. I'd like to give you my special checklist to help you easily get your repayments started and off on the right foot. All you have to do is go over to studentloanshow.com, enter your email address, and we'll make sure that special checklist gets to you as quickly as it can. So let's jump into it, because student loans are a big deal. And for most people, when they come out of college or grad school, or even when they dip below half-time enrollment, those loans are going to kick in, and let's face it, they're going to be the biggest payments that you've got to make because they're the biggest debt that you have. Most people, if you're coming out of school, maybe you've got some credit cards, maybe you've got a car loan that may be lingering around, but for the most part, that student loan payment, that's the biggest nut that you've got to crack. And you're starting things out. You're starting your entire life out. So when you're starting your entire life out, you've got a whole bunch of balls in the air, and you want to make sure that you don't drop the one that says student loans on it, because it's a big ball, but it's also a big bomb. And if you drop the student loan bomb, you're going to have a lot of problems. So here then are my 10 steps that you've absolutely got to take before your student loan payments kick in. Number one, you've got to track down your loans. You've got to see who it is that you owe money to. For the federal student loans, it's really easy. All you have to do is go to the National Student Loan Data System, where you can get an entire listing of every single federally guaranteed student loan that's out there. It'll also include your Perkins loans. It'll also include a listing of any of the grants that you receive that you may not have to pay back. And it's going to give you a really good snapshot of those federal student loans. Puts everything in one place, makes your life a lot easier. Unfortunately, there is no such clearinghouse when it comes to your private student loans. So you're going to have to dig a little bit more there. The easiest thing for you to do is grab a copy of your credit report. You can get a free copy of your credit report every year from each of the three major repositories, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And you can get that by going to annualcreditreport.com, not any of the other free credit reporting sites, because those aren't really free. You go to annualcreditreport.com. If you have received your credit report in the past year and you don't have the ability to get a free one, you can go over to the credit reporting agencies directly. You can go to Experian, Equifax, TransUnion, or you can just go to one of them and get all three of your credit reports in one shot. I like going to Experian for my credit reports when I don't have the opportunity to get a free one, but it's entirely up to you. And if you go, you don't need to worry about getting a copy of your credit score, because that's not what we're looking for right now. Right now, we're just trying to nail down all of the private student loans. When you get your credit report, you'll be able to see all of the debt that you owe, which is very handy, but you'll also be able to take a specific look at your private student loans. If you're confused, if you can't figure out which is which and where is where, you can also go back to your school, any school that you went to, and find out from the financial aid office who it was who funded your loans. So if you went to three or four schools, you'll have to make three or four phone calls, because school A isn't going to have the information about loans that you took out for school B, but it's a last option for getting all of that information together, because you want to know how much money you owe, because if you don't, you stand a very real risk of missing out on repayment on one of the loans and potentially going into default and making your life a lot more difficult further on down the road. But that's not what we're looking to do. We're looking to make it easier. So your first step is to track down all of your loans. Make a list of all of them. What I like to tell people to do is create an Excel spreadsheet or a Google Docs sheet where you can list in the first column the name of the lender. The next column will be your account number. The next column will be the amount of money due. And now we're going to go on to the second step, because we're not done with that spreadsheet. Your second step is you're going to call each one of the lenders, each one of the federal and private student loan lenders. You're going to give them a call, and you want to make sure that they have your contact information. You want to make sure that they have your address where you get your mail. Now, if you've moved out of your parents' house, then you want to make sure that they have where your mail should go, which it should always be where you live, or if you've got a P.O. box or a mail location, then that's going to be where you want them to send the mail. Don't have them send it to your parents, because your parents have other things to worry about. And there's at least some chance that your parents may get mail for you, not realize that it's important, hang on to it, and then not tell you about it until you go home for Christmas or you go to visit once every other month or whatever it is. So you want to make sure that they can, that the loan servicers can get you the information that they need and that you can receive it on a timely basis. Make sure that they have your email address. Make sure that they have all of your phone numbers. Now, you may not want to give them your cell phone number, because you may not want your student loan folks calling you when you're out with your friends for the weekend or sitting at work or doing something else. But so you may want to give them just your home number. That's okay, so long as they can reach you and leave you a message if they need to, because you want to keep those lines of communication open. Once you've spoken with your loan servicer, you want to find out when your payments are due, who you should be sending them to, and what the address is going to be, even if your loan isn't in repayment. And again, we're talking about the lead up to those loans going into repayment. So if your loans aren't in repayment, and if we're talking before repayment begins, then they're not, but the servicer can still tell you how much the payments are going to be. So how much they're going to be and when they're going to be coming due, what month and date they're going to be due when that first payment is due, and where you should be sending them. So that's the second thing you do. After you've tracked down your loans, you're going to communicate with your loan servicer. The information that you got is going to go into that Excel spreadsheet. That information is all going to go right in that spreadsheet. So who you send your payments to, where you send your payment, when your first payment is due, and how much that payment is for. That's going to go in that Excel spreadsheet. Next, and you can handle this during the same phone call, for your private student loans, you want to find out about your loan payment options. Different private student loan lenders will have different loan repayment options. So is there a way for you to just make interest-only payments? Is there a way for you to reduce your payments? Are there other payment options that you've got available? There may not be. A lot of private student loan companies don't have those payment options, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Remember, if you don't ask, you're never going to be able to get the information that you need to help construct your repayment in a way that's going to keep you in good standing and is also going to allow you to live your life. So find out about those private loan repayments. That's number three. Again, track down your loans, communicate with your servicers, and find out your private loan payments. Step four, for federal student loans, you want to investigate all of your repayment options, and there are a lot of them. There's a standard repayment that's 10 years. You pay the same amount of money every month for 120 months. You pay it off in 10 years. There are extended payment options. There are income-based repayment options, and there are a number of them. There are income contingent options. There's also deferment and forbearance, but if you're looking at all of the repayment options, you're less likely to need to go into a deferment or forbearance. So that's something that you want to take a look at. And the federal student loan lender is going to be able to communicate with you and find out about your current income situation to help you make those decisions. The federal government, the U.S. Department of Education, also has a loan repayment calculator so that when you use your username and your password that you use to access the National Student Loan Data System that we talked about in step one, you can log into that repayment calculator, use your same username and password. It'll automatically pull in all of your loans and it'll roll down all of your repayment options. But you want to do that as your fourth step. For your fifth step, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to sit down with any co-signers, and this is going to be for private student loans only. There are no co-signers on federal student loans. You're going to want to talk with your co-signers and remind them about their obligations, because a lot of times a co-signer doesn't realize that they are legally responsible for repayment 100%. And if you don't make a payment and it's going to go past you and it's going to go negative on your credit report, it's going to go negative on their credit report also. So you want to talk with your co-signers about their obligations for repayment, because you've spoken to your private student loan companies, you've spoken to the servicers, and you know when those payments are going to come due and how much they're going to be. Now you want to communicate that with the co-signers, okay? When you have that conversation with your co-signers, you want to start discussing with them whether or not there's a possibility for a release of their obligations, a co-signer release, or a refinance of those private student loans. A lot of lenders will allow a co-signer to be released from a private student loan, but only under certain circumstances. And one of those circumstances is that the loan must never have been late within the first 24 months of repayment. There are also credit score obligations. So they're only going to allow the co-borrower or co-signer to be released from the obligation if your credit is good. But even barring that, and your credit may be fine now, you may not have the income that's going to be high enough to give the lender the ability to rely upon you as the only person obligated for repayment of the loan. So they may not release you right now. But if the loan has been late any time in the first 24 months, a lot of lenders who may otherwise release a co-borrower or co-signer won't do that. So you want to set up your repayments immediately to ensure that those private student loans don't go past due at all, and certainly not in the first 24 months if your co-signer is ever going to be looking for a release. As far as refinance, the same thing applies. A lot of companies that will refinance a private student loan may do so only in certain limited circumstances. So you want to make sure that everything is handled very carefully with respect to that private student loan. So now, at this point, we're halfway done, and we figured out how much the private loan payments are and how much the federal loan payments are. But number six, we've got to look outside the federal and private student loans. We've got to look outside of that repayment and look at other debt payments that you have to contend with. Because you may have some credit cards. You may have the remnants of a car loan. Maybe you even have some medical debts or other tuition obligations that are sitting out there that you've got to take care of as well. So you want to figure out how much your payments are on those other debts. Because what we're doing is we're building a list of what is going to need to go out every month. So we've got to look at all of those other obligations, your medical, your credit card, any other tuition, any personal loans, any medical, and anything whatsoever. We need to figure out how much you're paying on your other debts because you want to be able to continue making those payments, right? So you need to factor those in. That's number six. Number seven, you've got to stop using your credit cards. There are a few reasons why you need to stop using your credit cards. I know you love those plastic pieces in your wallet, or maybe you've gotten American Express and you figure, well, I've got to pay that in full every month. It's not really a credit card. But here's the thing. Credit cards, when you're using them, your monthly payment goes up. That's first, and we understand that. But credit cards are an excellent way to forget your monthly expenses. They're an excellent way to mask, to hide the amount of money that you're spending every single month. You don't know what you're spending because there's no friction in your credit cards. The money, you swipe it or you tap it, but there's no money coming out of your pocket. And you're not seeing your checking account or your savings account balance going down. And when you can't see it going down, you don't realize that you're spending the money. and there's a greater chance of getting hung up when the time comes to make those student loan payments. So you want to stop using your credit cards. I know that's not easy, but we've got to do it. So let's do it now before it gets totally out of hand. The next thing you want to do is you want to build your budget. You know how much money you have coming in right now, even if it's not a lot, or even if you're unemployed. You know what's coming in, or you know that nothing's coming in. You know what needs to go out. So you can build your budget. That's a subject for another show for us to dive in more deeply, but I'll have some resources to some budget building options and some places where you can look to help you build your budget in the show notes. So take a look there, and I'll put a bunch of links in there for you to help you get started on building your budget. So you want to build your budget, because once you know what's coming in and you know what's going out, then you know what's left over and you know what you can afford to spend on things like rent and utilities and transportation and food and clothing and your cell phone and all of those things that go along with having a life. So you're going to build your budget. Number nine, you want to look at career options that may help you with student loan forgiveness. The big one is public service loan forgiveness that allows you to wipe out any unpaid balance on your federal student loans after 120 monthly payments, but only certain jobs qualify. And there are requirements to it. So you want to make sure that you take a look at those career options. There are other options that may give you student loan forgiveness as well, and you want to take a deep dive into those, especially when you're first finishing out with school and you're first coming into the workplace. You want to try to map out a career that's going to give you not only personal fulfillment and financial fulfillment, but if you can also get one that's going to help fulfill your federal student loan requirements, well, all the better. So you should take a look at your career options to help you manage your federal student loans and with an eye towards student loan forgiveness. And finally, this is number 10, and this is last but not least. Don't forget about yourself. Don't forget about when you're building your budget to include some fun money. Include a little bit of money, even if it's $5 or $10 a week, to do something for yourself that you enjoy, to spend time with friends, to be able to experience the world. You're just coming out of school. You're entering the workplace. There are a lot of stresses that are involved. And especially when you're dealing with tackling this huge beast that is the federal student loan monster and the private student loan monster, it's easy to get disheartened. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get upset. And so you want to make sure that you build in some things for yourself. Self-care is important, because if you can't take care of yourself, then you cannot take care of your student loan repayment options. So please, please don't forget, number 10, don't forget about yourself. Always remember to take care of yourself, because when you do, everything else gets a lot easier. So that has been my simple 10 things you must do in the last crucial months before your student loan grace period ends, why each one of those steps is important, and how each one of them contributes to your student loan repayment success. Don't forget, There's a special checklist to help you easily get your repayment started the right way. Just go on over to studentloanshow.com, check out the show notes for this episode, enter your email address, and we'll get that sent out right to you by email. Really helpful, and it will enable you to put into action the 10 steps that we've talked about in today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know that there are a lot of podcasts out there, and there seem to be more and more every day. So I'm doubly glad that you chose to spend your time listening to me today instead of one of the other ones. If you've enjoyed today's show, please share it using the social media buttons that you're going to see at the top and the bottom of the show notes page at Student Loan Show, or why not just tweet it out to your friends or put it up on Facebook. Also, please consider taking a minute to leave an honest review and a rating for the podcast on iTunes. They're really helpful when it comes to ranking the show, and I read every single one of your reviews personally so that I can take them into account when thinking about what we need to do to make the show even more useful for you. Lastly, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes to get automatic updates every time a new episode goes live. My name is Jay Fleischman. I've been your host today for this episode of the Student Loan Show. I will see you back here next time. Until then, take care.